Let's talk now with our sports legal analyst and one of the best in the business, in my opinion, Michael McCann from Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dale. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You wrote a lengthy piece on SI.com today about the ruling by the judge in a Florida court, Judge Hanser. Bottom line here is the judge has ruled that this videotape evidence cannot be used in any prosecution. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And any evidence pursuant to the warrant, so it's even broader than the video. It actually goes to the car stop as well and potentially other materials that were gathered. So it's an even more sweeping victory for Kraft than just the videos alone.
Now, what's the next move potentially for prosecutors?
Well, I think the next move, Rich, will be the prosecutors have to really think through whether they want to continue with the case. They could drop the case. That would be one potential reaction. Now, maybe they don't want to because it's high profile, but they realize that getting a conviction is going to be very difficult based only on the potential testimony of the women with whom Kraft had sexual relations with. Now, we don't even know what they'll say if they say anything, and what will their recollections be. To build a case on that alone may be difficult. So one option is that the prosecution just decides, we drop the case, this has gone far enough. Another is that they appeal it, and they appeal the ruling to an appellate court. But usually in the middle of a case, difficult to appeal a judge's ruling, and judges are given pretty significant deference on those matters. So an appeal, although it could work, the odds would be against it. And then another move is just to do nothing and wait for Kraft's lawyers to petition to have the case dismissed. And I suspect they'll do that pretty soon, and then they'll litigate that. But you know, to me, this is now less about the law and more about image, because the prosecutors, and particularly the state attorney's office, is heavily invested in this case, and professional reputations are impacted by it. So it's not a typical case. If this was Robert Smith instead of Robert Kraft, mm-hmm. I think the case would have been resolved by now.
One of the things you wrote about today is that, believe it or not, these videos could still be released either lawfully or unlawfully.
Yeah, that's going to be a real issue for Kraft. Even though the videos are currently sealed pursuant to another accompanying case, that itself could be reversed on appeal because media companies are trying to get the videos released. And really, mainstream media companies, it's not, you might think, well, this is tabloid entities. Oh, it's ESPN, it's the Associated Press. They want the videos because they know it has marketing value and it could sell ads and things like that.
Although the Boston Globe did drop out of that case, right?
They did, but others haven't, at least not yet. So it also national media haven't. And I think that just goes to the idea that even though I think we could all say it's pretty grotesque that people want to see these videos, they will sell ads potentially and they're newsworthy. So it gets down to those issues. So there's that. But even if the videos remain sealed, how many people have seen these videos that work for the state of Florida or the town of Jupiter? How many have access to those files? How many files have been replicated? How many computers have the file? I mean, this is digital stuff, right? So a lot of people could have or could have access to them. And all it takes is one to sell them and do it illegally, but it's hard to track down who did it. And once it goes online, it's game over. Even if Kraft could petition to have the first website that puts the video up take it down, I think we all know once a video is online, there's always a copy.
That's always sort of been my point throughout this whole thing, Michael, is he could fight this, he could even win, they could even legally say, listen, like, the tapes are never getting out, but he can never really rest easy on that. Like, in this day and age, I mean, anything that's been out, anybody who has something on their computer, their phone, they can immediately upload it, everybody has it, so I don't know what kind of peace of mind he could even really achieve through all of this, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think this will always be a threat that one day he'll wake up and some website will be showing the video and it will be written about. He's not going to get peace of mind that won't happen, but he could get peace of mind that if the case is dismissed. And also, people may be sick of the story eventually, too. It's not as interesting, right? This is no longer news breaking. People have read written narratives of the videos, and I realize written narratives aren't the same as actual video, but it's not as engaging or as shocking because we already know, at least by written description, what's on those videos. So maybe it won't be as big of a story for him as it would have been 6 weeks ago.
Robert Kraft has apologized for the actions, although he didn't specify what he was apologizing for. His attorneys have basically stipulated as to the content of the videos. They've called it pornography. So while the legal case may be dismissed, the case in front of the National Football League and Roger Goodell may be different because they've basically agreed to what it was that he did and what happened.
Yeah, and I think Roger Goodell is going to have to decide what is that worth? How bad is that? If Kraft has essentially acknowledged that he hired a prostitute, what does that mean in the grand scheme of damage to the league brand? Certainly, many have written that prostitution is demeaning of women, particularly women of color, and that that's a concern for Goodell as he weighs what an appropriate punishment would be. He has broadcasters, he has sponsors that may weigh in and tell him that this is bad for the league image, that an owner was involved in something like this. On the other hand, look, if the case is dismissed, there's no crime. And secondly, what else has he done to owners? Well, you have Jim Irsay, who pleaded out to driving while intoxicated, which you could say is a much more serious thing, right? You drive while intoxicated, you could kill someone, you could maim someone, you could do those things to yourself. I think morally, many would say that that's worse than paying another person for sexual services. And then there was Jerry Richardson on the Panthers. Richardson was accused of mistreating women who worked for him, harassing them, inappropriately touching them. You could argue that that's also worse morally than what Kraft is accused of doing. And in those instances, there were certain punishments. And I think you have to say that's probably the outermost punishment that Kraft would get. Irsay was suspended 6 games. I would be surprised if Kraft is punished anyway more than a fine. I also question what's the point of suspending an owner. They don't play. They're not coaching. They're not involved in personnel decisions. It seems sort of symbolic and kind of pointless to suspend an owner. A more sensible punishment would be like what the NBA does. Look at what happened with Mark Cuban and the Mavericks. Cuban agreed to a $10 million donation after there were allegations about workplace misconduct on the Mavericks. That is a more meaningful approach because it's actually benefiting organizations that could use money that address what the underlying issue is.
You have taught a class at the University of New Hampshire on Deflategate. You might be able to teach a class on this case and the job that Robert Kraft's high-priced team of attorneys have done in getting this evidence suppressed and ultimately probably getting this case dismissed.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve all the credit in the world. And I think many, including myself, question why was he hiring this high-priced, you know, New York-based, in some cases, legal team to resolve what's really a misdemeanor, a low-level misdemeanor that normally gets resolved by paying a fine and doing community service and watching videos of don't engage in prostitution. And yet his lawyers were able to uncover real deficiencies in the search warrants. And in a way, others will benefit from that. Other men who are accused will benefit from that finding. So they'll be recipients or unintended beneficiaries of Kraft's lawyers doing a really good job. And this will be a case that's studied in casebooks because it's about privacy. It's about why is the government videotaping people in a spa where they have a high expectation of privacy, including women who were customers in the spa and that weren't even contemplated by the search warrant. There are real problems with what the government did here.
Final question before we let you go, and I'm asking you to speculate here. Based on how hard the state of Florida has gone after this case, it's hard for me to envision them just saying, okay, yeah, fine, let's drop the charges. I almost think they're forced to appeal, aren't they?
Probably, Dale, because I think it's now a political issue, right? There are people with large reputations that are associated to this case. First of all, they're probably feeling embarrassed because what they initially described as human sex trafficking has proven untrue. And that's what got the headlines, right? That's why CNN and other networks covered it that day, because it was about something really awful. But it turned out that that really awful thing wasn't actually happening, at least based on the evidence. So they're already damaged by that. And then secondarily, if their lead defendant, the star defendant, succeeds in showing that their case was illegal and unconstitutional, That's going to have some real, I would imagine, political ramifications that they're going to try to minimize.
Michael, we appreciate the time as always. Like I always say to you, we never run out of these sports law topics to discuss.
Never. It keeps me in business.
Thanks. Right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
That is Michael McCann, UNH law professor, sports legal analyst for Sports Illustrated and SI.com.